very excited today that we do have a guest speaker, Mark Boettcher. Mark is the son of Phil Boettcher and his wife, Michelle. And they are here today with, I guess this would be your Aunt Holly and your grandmother Claire, Sister Katie, and your wife, Brooke, and your brother Paul and Emily, and they both have two kids back in the nursery or somewhere.
They're not in here.
And in case you don't know, Mark will be in just over a month graduating from Oklahoma Wesleyan. He will be going and serving at a Wesleyan church in Rapid City, South Dakota, where he's going to be over, he said, youth and outreach. And I know he's excited, and I'm excited to hear him today, and I'm going to just turn the service over to him, and all we ask is that we be attentive and open to the Lord.
Good morning. So like Pastor Ken said, my name is Mark Boettcher, and Phil is my father. Don't hold that against me. I'm just kidding, Dad. I love you. But as he said, I'm going to school at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. It's in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And my major is why I'm up here is pastoral ministry. And I'm excited to be here with you this morning and honored to speak. So as he said, I'm going to a church in Rapid City, South Dakota. It's also where I'm from. And I actually got a privilege to go up there this past week. And while we were up there, we were looking for houses to buy. And we were looking at, as you go for houses, you look for niches to look for. Like, is the foundation good? Is the roof good? And as we were looking, we kept on noticing different grounds that houses are built on. And I actually got to speak with one of my friends who goes by the name of David Moore. And David Moore used to be a city inspector for Rapid City. And David told this story that happened around 1970s in Rapid City about this house, these houses that were built on the hill, and they were built on this formation called shale. And those of you shaking your head know what shale is, and shale is not the greatest foundation to be built on. See, shale, when it's in the ground, comes at a diagonal angle. And when you're building a house, you just dig straight down and you cut that diagonal angle. But what you don't realize is that over time, shale goes like this again. And so in about 1970s in Rapid City, this entire street that was built on shale, out of nowhere, crash down this hill. Tragic, to say the least. But as you think about this, it shows the importance of a foundation. We need to look at that in a metaphorical aspect in our life. None of us want to have a foundation that when the mist and the heats and the pressure of life, that it crumbles. So this question I want you guys to hold on to is, how do we ensure a strong foundation in our life? How do we ensure a strong foundation in our life? We do not want to crumble in the midst of life's trials and pressure. You don't want to be the house that crashed down. So before we dig into God's word today, let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, Lord, we come to your word with a reverent heart, with a heart that is willing to listen, heart that is willing to change. Father, push me back to the background and let you come forward to speak. Let your scriptures speak through your spirit in all righteousness and truth and conviction. Lord, guide us with your sweet Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 29. But before we get into the text, I'm going to give a little bit of background. So if you didn't know, the end of Matthew is this great, Matthew 7 is the end of this great sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And I'm actually going to start at the beginning of the sermon and explain it a little bit. So Jesus climbs up on this mountain in Matthew chapter 5. He gets up there and he sits down, which doesn't seem like there's a significant value in it. To us, maybe he's trying to get elevated like I am now so you guys can see me clearly and hear me. But in the Hebrew and Jewish culture, there's a great emphasis on his actually seating. See, when a rabbi was going to give an official teaching in the law, he sat down. He sat down upon this mountain. So Jesus, by doing that, is giving this nonverbal sign that a teaching is about to take place. The second is that he climbed up on a hill. And it's like, well, yeah, he got up to be seen. But there's actually the Jewish culture, the Jews would have had a different grasp, a different idea, because if you remember back in the Old Testament, Moses gave the law from the mountain. They would have seen this as a divine teaching of the law. And we see this because Jesus goes through topics such as murder or anger, adultery, money, and he brings it to this next level. And that's where we come into ours today in chapter 7 of Matthew, verse 24 and 29. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Someone say rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not do them, for he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Say sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes. When we first look at this text, we see two people groups. The first are those who hear and do the words of Jesus Christ. They are a people group with a purpose, the purpose of God, the purpose of the kingdom of heaven. They are compared to a wise man. And when we think of wise man in this passage, we need to think of one who is practically wise, one who is intentional, one who thinks ahead. For he built his house upon the rock. The storm came. The rain, the wind, the floods. And we need to think about this. Who's here has watched the Geographic Channel before? Have you ever seen like a desert program when it rains in the desert? It's not like a flood we see here, right? It doesn't come up like this. It's literally a river that cuts through rock. This is the picture of the storm that comes and hits this house and beats against it. But it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. And it's interesting that Jesus uses this idea of a rock. Not only is it a good foundation, but when we look at rock in Scripture, the first time that actually the Israelites start calling God their rock comes after this instance in Numbers, where they're wandering in the desert. See, the people are thirsty, they have no water, and they're complaining to Moses, "Moses, where is our water?" And Moses goes to God, and God tells him to strike a rock, and flowing water will come through. It is after that that they started calling God their rock. And if you go to, it'll be on the screen behind us, but Psalm 62:2 says, "He alone is my rock, my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken." See, this rock that he laid his foundation was structured. It was a stronghold. It was Jesus Christ. See, this is the answer to that question. How do we ensure a strong foundation in our life? And it is by listening and living the words of Jesus Christ. This is the only foundation in life. There is no other. It is by listening and living the words of Jesus Christ. It is those who hear and do. The second group that we encounter are those who listen but do not live. This group is compared to the foolish man. And to give a greater emphasis, this is one who is not intentional, one who does not think through things clearly. The literal Greek says morano, which is where we get the word moron. Shows the seriousness of that term. Who are those that do not live but only hear? May I dare say that it can be in any congregation. They hear the words of Christ. They come every Sunday. But when they leave here, their life is no different from those who don't know Christ. They are seat fillers. They build their foundation on the desires of the world. They try to live the American dream, which is money, fame, and sex. This is those who build on sand. The storm came. The rain. Imagine that storm, that desert storm comes and hits this house. The house fell. But notice the difference between verse 25, it says, "And it did not fall because it had been founded on sand or on rock." And then in verse 27, it says, "The house fell, and great was the fall." See, Jesus did not even mention what it was founded on, because there's no need to give the recipe for failure. Instead, he makes a comment of how great a fall it was. You got to take heed on that. This word, fall, was used to describe the overthrow of an empire, overthrow of a building. Literally, it was a great destruction. See, listening and not living the words of Jesus Christ results in total destruction. But when we compare the two, when we compare these two foundations, there needs to be something addressed, something that is it's really hard to get across in the English language, and this is beautiful. It's beautiful, so listen in on me. This word, the first house, goes through, and the storm comes, and it beats against this house. This is a really strong verb in the Greek. And it beats against it, beats against it, beats against it, beats against it. And it endures. But the second part, this word beats for the second house, is a different verb than that. It's actually a weaker verb. It literally means to dash against. The storm dashes in the house and it falls. See, what does this mean? It means when we live and listen to the words of Christ, we endure the trials of life. We have a firm foundation that when the midst of the storm comes, we hold strong. Listening and living the words of Christ. Think of it this way. If this was two different storms, it would be like the first house endures the storm of an F5 tornado and holds strong because of Jesus Christ. And the second storm is knocked over by a severe thunderstorm. That's what it's saying. Or think of it as two different storms. Or no, the same storm, sorry. It was a tragic event at Hurricane Harvey. And I have had friends that gone through it. But think of it this way. Hurricane Harvey hitting Galveston or Houston versus Dallas or Durant, Oklahoma. Way different experience. And yet the one that would plant in the high of the storm stood firm. But the one that built on sand, the desires of this world, the foundations that will crumble, fell. Listening and living to the words of Jesus Christ allows us to endure the trials of life. What does this look like? I mean, that's, you know, I've talked about living like Christ, living like Christ, living his words. What does that look like, though? What does listening and living the words of Jesus Christ look like? Because we got to know that to ensure the foundation. It's nice to have this idea, but we've got to know what it is. In verse 28, and I'll answer that question here. In verse 28, says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. We see the importance of knowing Jesus' words. And like I said, like I'm going to say this, the teaching here should be is a strong emphasis on the teaching. To instruct. It is literally the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. These words of Jesus Christ. They're important, are they not? He ends his sermon with the saying, with the authority. These are the doctrine, the kingdom of heaven. These words he just spoke. And not like the words of man. They're scribes. See, we listen to Jesus, the words of Jesus, by coming to church. We got one step down. See, and hearing the proclamation of the word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the words of Christ. Because Jesus isn't here in the flesh right now, we have an obligation to read his scriptures. But here, who here has an iPhone or a smartphone? Who has a Bible app on their phone? Do you know that thing reads to you? If you're struggling to get in the Word, at least try to listen to it. This is the ways that we hear Jesus Christ. This is the way the transformational message pierces our heart. It's by hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the words of Christ. In the context of the sermon, though, Jesus is saying, those who do not listen to the sermon that I had just preached on this mountain, take heed. So in his sermon, what does he talk about? He talks about treasures. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. There your heart will be. What are we making idols in our life that takes the priority away from Christ? He takes it, as I said earlier, he takes the law and raises it. He takes this, the idea of the way we lived, and raises it. He takes it from just the doing of it to the full intention of it, to the full thought, to the full passion of it. He says, those who commit adultery do it when they look upon someone with lust. This is a very serious thing that Americans struggle with. I'm not going to get into the stats, but young man, young woman, middle-aged man, middle-aged woman, elderly woman, elderly man, are our hearts pure when we look upon another? Married people, are you honoring your spouses with your eyes? This is the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. And he gives us the grace to do it. Anger. Who here gets angry? My wife can attestify that I get angry probably more than anyone. But Jesus says, if you are even angry with someone, you've committed murder. He raises the bell. This is the doctrine of the kingdom of heaven. I believe in James, it says, be swift to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is what it looks like to walk as Christ did. How are we loving our enemies? We all have those frustrations in life. If we are loving those who love us, we are no different than others. We need to live like Christ. See, living and living. listening to the words of Jesus Christ ensures the only foundation. As we're concluding here today, there's some questions that come to my mind. The first is, what are you making your foundation? What have you been founding and structuring your life upon? For some, it's a well done, faithful servant. For others, it's a time to repent. The second question, are the words of Jesus Christ authority in your life? Church, this goes for all churches. I want you to imagine God's people who have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine when they took the road, when they were in the road and the fork came in the road and the left led to sin and repentance and the right led to obedience and faithfulness. Imagine a church that took the right. Imagine a church that took the words of Christ and lived them faithfully. Too often we make the excuse that God's grace will just forgive me. We treat it cheaply. We stomp on it. Too often do we choose the left road. But Christ calls you, everyone in here, to live a life of faithfulness and obedience led by His Spirit. He does not leave you alone. Church, this is our strong foundation, the words of Jesus Christ. Listening and living them are Christ's words and authority in your life. For those of you who haven't had the opportunity to know who Jesus Christ is, to have a firm foundation in this ever-changing world, today's the day. See, it comes by that we need to confess our sins, turning from them, repenting of them, believing in the name of Jesus Christ. Savior. You'll be washed clean. No shame will be held against you. The devil's grip of conviction will no longer, or of shame will never be on you. Today's that day. If you've never accepted Christ, you have that opportunity. Remember, it's living and listening to the words of Jesus Christ that ensure our firm foundation, the only firm foundation in life. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came on the cross and died for us. He cleansed us with his blood and suffering, that we may be made new. What joy we have in that, Father. What joy we do. Father, I pray that the message that you brought today, Lord, message that you've spoken would dwell in our hearts, that when we leave here, we are a church of obedience, a church of faithfulness, a church of Christ-like living. Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you through song and word this morning. Let us cherish that, O Father. Lord, and it is in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.